the times I felt the most anxious in my life was when I felt like I was in this purgatory of making decisions and not listening to my gut, because deep down I did know the best decision for me to make, but I was hesitating on making it. And maybe had I made it faster, I could have slowed some of that anxiety a little bit.
Let's link up with Krista on The Fix. She's a wellness coach with a focus on mental well-being and physical strength.
Hey, hey, Fix listeners. Welcome back to our latest episode of The Fix Podcast. I'm your host, Krista Huber, and we've officially reached the month of May, which is my birthday month. And I'm going to be that girl for a second and say, yes, it's my birthday month. Obviously, if you've been tuning in for the last three episodes, I've been on this series going through all of the lessons. Well, I shouldn't say all of, but many of the lessons, my top 30 lessons of things I've learned in my 20s that I plan to carry into my next decade. Things I've learned from life experiences, from relationships I've had, from decisions I've made, from clients I've worked with, from people who message me on Instagram, from the content that I follow, just taking the time to reflect on a lot of growth and a lot of changes in very formative years. And now we're going to finish off the list. So for the past 3 weeks, I've been leaving you guys with seven things that I have learned. But today, just so we can round out this series and have it finish off before my actual birthday, which is on Sunday, we're going to go with 10. So we've got our final 10. I could say I saved the best for last, but honestly, I have been very organic with how I've come up with these. I've gone back through old content, listened to old podcast episodes, but most of the time have gotten a lot of these downloads from conversations I've been having with people in my life who are really important to me, and going on walks and just reflecting on, like, how did I get to where I am right now today that I'm sitting here in front of a microphone, in front of my camera, in my apartment, recording this podcast. And that's actually one of the lessons I'm going to dive into on this list for today. Now, before we get into it, want to remind everybody one more time that the doors are closing on our brand new program, 30 Days to Thriving, which is just days away from kicking off. I'm giving everybody until tomorrow to reserve their spot. So if you've been waiting, if you've been sitting on it, I don't know why you've been sitting on it, but this is your final reminder to get in on this, get your chance to experience what the Fitness Fix is all about within 30 days. And hey, it's May, which means, especially for all my Jersey Shore friends out there, we're getting real close to the unofficial, official start of summer with Memorial Day just weeks away. So personally, I can't really think of a better time for you to dive in to prioritizing you. And what I want to stress about 30 Days to Thriving, as we've gotten a lot of messages about it, questions, just kind of like the FAQs, if you will, is it's meant to be simple. It doesn't mean that everything's going to be easy, because if it were easy, you'd probably already be doing a lot of these things already. But it's meant to be simple because, as I've stressed in the last few episodes and in one of the lessons that I've learned in the last 10 years, is we know you're busy. I'm busy too. And I recognize how challenging it can be to prioritize putting yourself first when a lot of different things are competing for your attention. But we have to really, really ask ourselves is this question. If I want to show up as my best self, isn't it inherently true that it's necessary for me to prioritize taking care of myself in a way that will allow for that to happen? And that's exactly what this program is going to teach you. Covering very basic habits like getting outside and going for a walk, taking 90 seconds to 2 minutes to tune into your breath, to put your hands over your heart and tell yourself, hey, I love you, and pour into yourself and give yourself that self-love, to focus on tracking your protein, because we know that makes a big difference when it comes to trying to lose body fat, putting your phone in do not disturb while you're eating meals and recognizing that a lot of things aren't that urgent. And a lot of the information we're consuming, things like social media, they're distracting us in a way that is probably taking up time that we think we don't have. And getting into time management and diving into that time management is going to help you actually see that it can feel just a little bit easier when it comes to changing your physique, when it comes to having more energy, when it comes to you feeling more self-confident. Doesn't take a whole lot to make that happen. And I am so confident in the way we approach that inside of the Fitness Fix that that's why we're even opening this up for a 30-day program, because I am positive you can start to feel better. You can make those changes 1% better every single day over the course of 30 days. So come experience it with us. The link to sign up is down in the show notes. And we are so excited to welcome this new group of women into the program starting May 6th. And I would love for any of you listening to also be one of those people. So with that said, here come the final 10 of 30 lessons I have learned through my 20s on my way to turning 30. The first one actually gets into exactly why I would urge you to join a program like 30 Days to Thriving. Knowing what you need to do is not the same as actually executing on this. I hear this in my DMs probably multiple days a week, something along the lines of, I know what I need to do, but I'm just not doing it. Cool. If you're not doing it, does it really matter? We could say that knowledge is power, yes. But if you're not executing on that knowledge, what is it actually doing for you? If anything, it's only making you more acutely aware of the fact that you're not doing it. And to really sum this one up, this is the exact reason why I myself have multiple coaches. Somebody could look at me and be like, well, why would you need a nutrition coach? I do have a lot of knowledge, but I also know myself and know that I thrive off of accountability and having that person in my corner to talk to, having that person in my corner to strategize with helps me actually go and do the thing. It helps me stay consistent with being in the gym because there are other things that compete for my attention. And knowing that that individual is going to check up on me and say, hey, what's going on? How are you doing? How are you feeling? Helps me actually ultimately be more accountable to myself. So if you keep sitting there and saying to yourself, I know what I need to do, but I'm just not doing it. I want you to dig deep. And I want you to ask yourself why you're not taking the action, because time is going to pass either way. And if we know that time is going to pass either way, we got a choice. And the choice that we have to make is to do something with that time that is going to make us feel like our best selves or stay exactly where we are. And you may tell yourself that you're busy, that you have a lot going on to kind of like quiet the voice of you feeling uncomfortable, you feeling disappointed in yourself. But if it were as simple as having more information in the world that we live in today with how quickly we can access information, if it were, was that was the thing that was missing for you, then you'd be already be on the road to getting to where you want to go. So sit with that one for a little bit. If you hear that one, you're kind of like, ooh, she's calling me out. Yeah, I am. And I want you, because you care enough about yourself. You care enough about yourself to find the time to listen to this podcast. I want you to do something about it. And I'm here to help you make that happen. The Fitness Fix is here to help you make that happen. Number two, this one ties directly into what I just mentioned in the introduction of this episode. And saying, wow, like, look at me reflecting on my life to the point where I'm sitting here now over 3 years into podcasting, over 150 episodes into podcasting. That's a lot of talking, a lot of people that I've been able to connect with through doing so. Having this amazing community, having this amazing coaching business, having a life that I genuinely love. And this is a more recent lesson that I've learned. And that's the fact that everything that happened in your life, every single thing had to happen exactly the way that it did for you to get to this exact moment to where you are right now. If you're on a walk listening to this podcast, wherever that is, if you're in your car driving to work listening to this podcast, wherever you are right now, every teeny tiny micro decision and things that maybe you just feel just happened to you because the universe put them in front of you, it all was meant to unfold exactly as it has. And what's really cool is when you have that perspective, it's a little bit easier to let go of control. It's easier to keep an open mind. It's easier to look at your future as a world of possibilities versus the whole negative side of that. Why did this happen to me? Or why am I in the situation that I am in right now? And if there is somebody out there that I'm speaking to, that's like, if everything had to happen for me to get to where I am and I don't like where I am right this second, I feel for you, because almost 4 years ago, I was in that same place of like, why is this happening right now? And I did not want to hear somebody say something like I am saying as I'm recording this, but as a, you know, let's call this like 2A for this one on the list, we can't have the good without the bad. And that's what's kind of cool about the polarity of life. For something to actually feel good, we also have to experience something bad. And when we can recognize that there's two sides, then we actually get to experience life for everything that it has to offer. Not just the good parts and not just the bad parts. Number three. If this one isn't a sign for you to jump in on 30 Days to Thriving with us, I don't know what is. Well, actually, there's maybe like two more on here that are. The longer you wait to start over, the harder it's going to feel. A little story time for this one. I remember during the pandemic, gyms were closed. I was not in a good headspace. Had made the decision to cancel my wedding, quit my job, move back to New Jersey. I was really burnt out from training, especially because it had become my profession and there were periods where that just kind of took the fun out of it for me. I wanted nothing to do with working out. And for weeks and weeks and months, I just felt like I was digging myself into a deeper hole. And I remember getting to a point where I could not do a push-up on my toes anymore. And maybe like 5-6 months prior, I was like knocking out push-ups left and right. I was, not that I would train this way anymore, but throwing push-ups into combinations of exercises that didn't really even belong together. But point was, I was, you know, on paper, physically, mentally, very fit. And I found myself really stuck because I kept comparing that previous version of me to where I was now starting. And I felt like I had taken so many steps back. But what I didn't realize is I was actually getting in my own way even more because I kept judging myself for the fact that I couldn't do something that I could so easily do. And the part that was ridiculous about it, honestly, was the more I kept avoiding it, the harder it was going to become for me to be able to do that again. So the unlock was saying, hey, just because you were able to do this before, the push-ups on the toes, just keeping with this example, doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean there's something wrong with you for the fact that you can't do it right now. And it also doesn't mean that you'll never be able to do it again. But if you continue to avoid trying to do it again, well then how the heck do you expect to make it happen? So if you've been in that place of feeling like, hey, my energy levels are feeling really low, I'm super stressed out, I'm feeling kind of blah, and you're comparing to this version of you that existed 2 years ago, 3 years ago, 10 years ago, 20, I want you to ask yourself what looked different about your life back then. Because chances are, maybe you had less stressors. Maybe you had a different job. Maybe you were in a different relationship. Maybe you lived in a different place. Maybe there were aspects of the way your life was designed at that time that it was just naturally a little bit easier for you to be super consistent with your routine. And where you're getting yourself stuck is because you're comparing yourself to circumstances that no longer exist for you. And it doesn't matter that they no longer exist. What matters is that they simply do not exist. and giving yourself the chance to try to recreate, not even create, I should say, to intentionally create a new version of yourself is what is going to allow you to move forward. And if you feel like you can't do that on your own, that's the power of coaching. Leaning into coaches was what helped me get back to a place of banging out a lot of pushups on my toes. And also just recognizing that like my worth wasn't actually wrapped up in that. It was a great goal for me to set for myself because I knew it made me feel good. But again, it didn't make me like this bad person because I wasn't able to do that anymore. Number four, good old anxiety. Anxiety comes from indecision and inaction. If you want to change that anxious state, that feeling of like, oh my gosh, I haven't gotten something, something's bothering me. Doing something is the quickest way to change that state. Most of the time when you just have that feeling of uneasiness, it's because you're not doing something that maybe you're not doing it because you're avoiding it because it feels difficult. It feels like a difficult conversation. It feels like just what I was saying a second ago about the push-up example. That anxiousness is only going to pile up more and more if you sit with the thing and do nothing. So if you want to quell that kind of anxiety of like, oh, why do I feel this way, but I can't explain how I feel? I know just everybody's experience with their mental health is different, but I know from my own journey that the times I felt the most anxious in my life was when I felt like I was in this purgatory of making decisions and not listening to my gut, because deep down I did know the best decision for me to make, but I was hesitating on making it. And maybe had I made it faster, I could have slowed some of that anxiety a little bit. And then even on like, you know, a more day-to-day scale with something like choosing to go to the gym, if you keep putting it off throughout the day and there's kind of like that voice in your head that's like, hey, you should go. Or even with me recording this podcast, some weeks I don't necessarily feel like I'm in the right headspace on the day that I intended to record it. And I've spoken about this in recent episodes too and saying, hey, I want to make sure I'm in the right energy because that allows me to deliver a better podcast, which is what you're coming for week after week. But there's also just some times where I'm like, hey, like, let me go record this thing. Let me just turn on the camera, turn on the microphone and trust in myself that I've done this many times and that it doesn't have to be perfect, and know that what's meant to come up will come up. Because I'm speaking from the heart. I'm saying things that really mean something to me. I'm saying things that matter. And if I wait until the next day or the next day, I'm only then creating that environment for myself where I'm like, oh gosh, this podcast episode is hanging over my head and I've yet to record it. And usually if I'm stuck on an idea of what I want to talk about, the more I push it off, sometimes that makes it harder for me to actually think of it versus just letting it rip. Number five. This is a big one that I learned in that era of restarting my fitness journey. And what I was referencing around this idea of feeling like you need to go and chase this previous version of you and not getting caught up in comparing to you in a totally different time in life. And that is this idea of putting your fitness and nutrition in a box over here and your life in a box over here. If you keep separating those two things, you will never maintain the results that you're chasing. It's really easy to commit to something for 30 days, even with 30 days to thriving. It's really easy to commit to something for 12 weeks. But something I've learned that we preach so hard inside of the Fitness Fix community is that the choices that you make around your fitness and nutrition, if you want them to be lasting change, if you want that lifestyle change, that sustainability, all those key sexy words that everyone likes to throw out, we need to find a way to integrate your fitness and nutrition into your life right now. And I'll give you an example. I have a new client that we recently started working with, absolutely love her, came to me having had a lot of experience with training for races, Ironmans, things like that. And is now just in a season of life where that's not what she wants to do anymore. And she found herself like really comparing the approach she was taking to her fitness and nutrition and kind of making herself feel bad about the fact that like she one, didn't have a desire to do that anymore. And two, that she couldn't actually fit that in into this stage of life because she has a young child who's not in school all day. She's involved in a lot of things in her community, does a lot of volunteering, and her time spread pretty thin. And that's totally okay. So what have we come up with? A game plan to where we are designing workouts around what she wants to do, what she's excited to do, and what time she has, which in her case has turned into like 2 to 3 days a week of 20 minutes of strength training. If you told me like 5 years ago that I would even advise somebody to do that, or that if it were me and I was talking to this and I was the client in this situation, I would be like, no, there's no way that's enough. But what's enough is what can actually get done, because that is what is going to create the environment for consistency, and consistency wins at the end of it all. Coupled with the fact that, hey, your goals are different. Take this example. I love this example of somebody training for races like that because it's such a shift to where they are right now. When you have specific performance goals around events like that, hell yeah, it's going to require a lot more time, a lot of intention behind your programming, the way you're eating, et cetera. But that doesn't mean that's the only way to get you to the results you want, because maybe now there's a shift. Maybe you have different priorities in the sense of how you look, how you want to feel, and how you ultimately want to spend your time. And that's what life is all about. That's what evolving is all about. So getting okay with recognizing that it doesn't mean that like your results aren't going to be as good. You're just looking for something different, and being able to be flexible and adaptable with that and open-minded with that is how you actually turn it into a true lifestyle. And if you're feeling rigid, if you're feeling stuck, again, that's where the support of a coach comes in to have that conversation. We have clients that we work with for 2+ years. In that time, goals shift and things change, especially when they get to the point of like, originally, wherever they were, let's say the person came into our program, they wanted to lose 20 pounds. A lot of times they'll get to that 20-pound weight loss and they're kind of like, now what? That's where we provide the vision for the future and laying out the blueprint of saying, hey, here are your options. This is where we can go. At the same time, let's say in our time of coaching together, something happens, a serious life event, you get injured, somebody in your family needs more of you than they needed 2 months before you signed up. That's also the role of coach, to help you learn how to pivot and adjust so that you can still pour into you on a regular basis. Number 6, this one I got from my very dear friend, Chase, who is a huge inspiration for this podcast. And he says this often on his podcast, which is the fact that the thing is never usually the thing. And what does that mean? It can mean a lot of things, but I just like the way that he says it. And I'm going to give an example of conversations I've had with clients recently around why fat loss may feel challenging. If the thing were truly the thing, losing weight would be as black and white as some combination of the following rules: eating enough protein, getting enough sleep, moving your body consistently, hydrating, and I could probably name like 6 other things, but you get the idea. But then there's a piece of having to actually execute on it. And when I work with clients who find themselves in these self-sabotage loops, let's say the weekend, Monday through Thursday, they're crushing it, they're hitting their macros, they're tracking their food, they're getting to the gym, they're getting good sleep, they're drinking their water. And then Friday rolls around, they go out to eat, they go to an event. They didn't really plan to have the dessert. They didn't plan to have the drinks. They decide to have the drink, and then that turns into them having the dessert that they weren't really intending to do. A lot of them will come back to me because they've developed so much self-awareness, which is super freaking cool to be able to facilitate these types of conversations with them. And they'll say, I don't get it. Like, I know what to do. And I had a plan, and then something changed, and I'm taking responsibility for not following through on the plan, even though I know that the choice I made isn't going to get me to where I want to go. Why is that? It's because it is often deeper than just being in a calorie deficit, tracking your food, and moving your body. There are people who are afraid of what their life might look like once they do lose the weight, because maybe they have other things in their life that they're not that comfortable with, like their relationships. And in losing weight, maybe them keeping the weight on actually is a barrier to protect themselves, because it's a way for them to not let other people in. That's a real reality. And getting to the heart of those types of conversations, that's where the real magic comes into coaching. Figuring out what that deep rooted belief is so valuable in then doing the other things, the action steps that are going to get you to where you want to go. And this has been something that's been on my mind for a long time, like pretty much since I started the Fitness Fix. And now as I've worked with more and more clients, just getting the opportunity to have these deeper conversations, but it's really shown up for me in the last 4 months in working with a transformational coach. And that's also why we're bringing that type of work into 30 Days to Thriving, because it's influenced my life. It's influenced the ways that I've made decisions in the last 4 months. It's helped me lose weight because I've facilitated this conversation with a coach to be able to have these types of conversations. And it's really cool to then be able to pass that on to our clients, because it's influenced who I am as a person and the way I communicate. But now we're up in the ante even more by going right to the source and bringing him in to all of everyone inside of our community too. So I can't wait to see, for those of you who are signed up for 30 Days to Thriving, and for those of you who are current clients and will automatically be a part of this program, I can't wait for all of you to get to experience it firsthand too. Number 7, the back half of the list. For all my perfectionists out there and my high achievers, this one's for you and me, because I've definitely learned this. You can't expect to be good at something you've never done before. This comes up all the time in business, for sure. When I'm trying to figure something out, whether it's like a new system that I'm using or navigating challenging conversations with clients. Like, we can't always expect to be good at everything. And when you're high achieving, that can be very humbling. Take the example of tracking your food. It gets a reputation for being tedious. It gets a reputation, can't talk today, for taking too much time. But usually the people who are saying that are the people who've only done it for a couple of weeks. And how could you possibly be good at something if you've only done it for a couple of weeks? Take someone at, you know, peak performance. Do you think Olympians consider themselves good at something with their training if they've only been doing it for a couple of weeks? Hell no. Most of them train for years. All of them train for years for sometimes only seconds of performance of their life. So before you decide that something's too hard, and before you decide that you want to give up on it, manage your expectations a little bit. Ask yourself, does this feel hard because I haven't done it? Or does this feel hard just because it's hard? And if it's because you haven't done it, give yourself the space and the time to practice it. Because then you will get good at it. There's literally no other way for you to get good at it. Yes, it's very cool when we have just innate abilities. And everyone out there, there's probably something that you're really good at that you can remember, like in your earliest days and some of your earliest childhood memories, that you've just always been good at that. And no one necessarily taught you how to do it. Skills like that are super cool. For me, it's always been writing. Don't know where I got it from. but I've just always loved writing. However, being good at it from a young age did not mean that I didn't continue to practice my craft. I poured into it all through college, majoring in journalism, getting better at it all the time. I would still say there's opportunities for me to get better at it. And it doesn't always mean that it feels easy. For those of you who are in our weekly email newsletter, I've written about this. That sometimes I literally don't have anything to say. I literally wrote a message saying, surprise, I have nothing to say. I did a podcast episode about it too. And it was actually really uncomfortable for me because I was like, I'm good at this. Like, why do I feel stuck right now? But I've removed the judgment of, hey, this is taking longer for me than it should, because the only way I'll continue to get good at writing is to hold myself to the promise of keeping that weekly email in place. The only way I've gotten better at podcasting is to hold myself to the promise of continuing to publish episodes every single week. And also recognizing that it's okay for things not to be perfect within that. I literally just stumbled on my words like a minute ago. And that's totally fine. I'm a human being too. Okay. Number 8. This is the other one that may call some people out a little bit. And it's not anything you probably haven't heard before, but it's so important. It is worth repeating. There will never be a perfect time for you to start a new fitness routine, prioritizing yourself, prioritizing your health. There will never be a perfect time. It's actually an excuse to say, oh, I'm just going to wait. I had a conversation with a fellow coach the other day, literally screenshotted me a message from a potential client. And the individual wrote, I just don't have the time to dedicate to my health right now. Reading that literally made me cringe. Like, it hurt. Do you not have the time, or do you not value your health? Do you not want to make the time? If you don't make the time, you're going to be running out of time. And again, time's passing either way. So why not do something with it that you know is going to help you? And this is that window, that couple weeks before summer, a couple weeks before Memorial Day, where so many people start looking back to, oh yeah, I had this intention in January to lose XYZ amount of weight, to be consistent in the gym, and it didn't happen. How many more years are you going to say that? That's a choice. It doesn't have to be your reality either. So sign up for 30 Days to Thriving. Number 9. This one I'm going to call a hot take, because the lesson is usually how you do one thing is how you do everything. And I don't think that's true. So my number 9 is how you do one thing is not how you do everything. And that's because we have competing priorities. And there will be moments in life where certain things, certain situations have to trump other things. And that may cause you, there's only so many hours in a day, you are only one person, that may cause you to be super focused and dialed in at work. And maybe not so much with how consistently you're hitting workouts throughout the week. But that doesn't mean because you're not hitting workouts that you're not good at work and vice versa. I think it's a nice idea because it shows the importance of consistency, which I've obviously been blabbering about in the last few moments. But I think it's more about holding yourself to a standard and having values and being clear on what those values are so that you can put your best foot forward in every situation that you're in. And the last one. Number 10. There's so much power in just letting go. And I don't mean letting go and being like, oh, I'm going to eat whatever I want and drink whatever I want to drink and not worry about how often I'm going for walks and taking care of myself and getting good sleep. But a client pointed this out to me a few weeks ago, sent me a message where she said, we've been working together for almost a year. She was like, I'm starting to realize that the secret to my success inside of this process is to think less. And the reason why she said that was because she had a busy day. She was coming home from work and she has some equipment at home so that she's able to do some at-home workouts. And what she really wanted to do after 7 p.m. walking in the door, knowing she still needed to eat dinner, knowing she still had other things she needed to get done before she went to bed, and that she had to be up early the next day, working out wasn't the thing that she wanted to do. But she was like, I'm realizing that if I just don't think about it and I just go do it, that's going to help me get to where I want to go. So less thinking, more doing. And to me, that's the power of letting go. It's recognizing that we can't always be super calculated and we have to be able to be flexible. And we have to be able to pivot. But there's also a power in letting go of getting to a certain outcome, because that allows us to focus more on the steps we're taking to reach that goal. So inside of your fitness journey, that may also look like, you know, not necessarily weighing yourself every single day. And if you do choose to weigh yourself every single day, because many of our clients do, I don't think it's always a bad thing, removing the judgment and creating neutrality around that number on the scale. Because really, if we don't like what we see on the scale, for a lot of us, that turns into thoughts of, why am I doing this? It's not working. Oh, let me just go eat something that doesn't necessarily fit within what I plan to for today because I'm not getting the results that I want. But is that the question I always ask is that going to serve you? Is that going to serve the outcome that you want? So if we can really get more in tune with the process and creating a process, creating a routine that we actually look forward to, we start to like ourselves more along the way. And we look forward to that process every single day versus feeling like we're doing something because we have to do it. And a lot of times, especially when it comes to tracking things like your food, most of the time the people who are really good at it and enjoy it have parts of their personality that we could describe as wanting to control things and wanting to be in control. I'm 100% one of those people. But I've learned that you can save yourself a lot of emotion and just letting go. Rolling with the punches a little bit more. And that's something that I feel tested by a lot and something that I'm not going to say by any means I've mastered. So I left that to be the very last one, lesson 30 out of 30 or 10 for this list for this week, because it's something I plan to prioritize going into my 30s. Because I've learned that anything that's truly meant for you won't pass you by. And if you choose to show up a certain way, and if you choose to take care of yourself, everything that is meant for you is going to come your way. So that's it. That's the end of the series. This has been a lot of fun. I'm excited for the next decade. I'm excited to have brought you all along to be able to celebrate this too. And if you have any questions again about 30 Days to Thriving, May 3rd, tomorrow, final chance to enroll with us. Can't wait to see all of you guys in there. Message me over at the Krista Huber on Instagram if you have questions about it. And as always, from wherever you're listening from, I hope you have a wonderful rest of your day, and I'll catch you guys next week.